Welcome to Innovation. I'm Kara Hetland, and joining me now in the studio is Scott Wood. He's an assistant professor in the nanoscience and nanoengineering program at South Dakota School of Mines and Technology. Welcome back to Innovation.
Thank you for having me back.
Thanks for being here. So let's give a little summary of your research. You're the featured STEAM Cafe speaker on December 18th. So we're going to preview that just a little bit, but we'll talk a little bit about your lab right now.
Great.
Go ahead.
All right. Well, so I study osteoarthritis at the cellular level. So osteoarthritis is the type of arthritis you get with age or with injury. And I'm really interested in how the cells in our joints convert the physical forces from daily activities into biological behaviors that help us to, that either help prevent arthritis or lead to the development of arthritis. And we're really trying to tease out what causes that switch in the cells.
Okay, so you get injured and your body kind of repairs itself, right? But
correct.
Something happens in the joint area where that doesn't always happen, and that end result then becomes arthritis.
Correct.
Okay, and you're trying to reverse that.
Well,
is that the right word, reverse?
Yeah, before we can work on reversing it, we really need to understand how it happens in the first place. People have been trying for decades to reverse arthritis without much success. And what we've learned is that it's a much more complicated disease than we initially thought. People initially just thought, oh, it's wear and tear. You get old, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
But we've actually come to understand, first that it's actually due to a reprogramming of the cells and they switch their behavior. And now we're beginning to even understand that there are multiple types of osteoarthritis. Obesity-related arthritis is not the same as injury-related arthritis.
Hmm.
There can be crossover. You can actually have both kinds at once, but each type causes the cells to behave slightly differently with the same end result. But if you're going to treat it, you really need to be able to understand exactly what it is that's been reprogrammed in those cells.
And in the last year, you've learned what?
In the last year, we've really been focused on the development of a new tool that will help us to study these cells much more effectively. The cells are difficult to work with. I don't know if I assume you have a pretty educated audience. They may have heard of HeLa cells. There was a book, The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks, that came out a few years ago.
Yes.
Many cells that get worked with in the lab are immortalized cells, and they can just grow forever in an incubator, and it's great. They're easy to work with. But chondrocytes, the cells we work with, the cells that are in our cartilage, they don't do that well. There have been a couple of different cell lines developed, but they just don't behave quite the same way. And if we keep them in the lab for more than a week and a half or so, they actually turn into a different kind of cell altogether, which behaves completely differently. And so what we have been focused on for the last year or so is the development of a new tool that will help us to keep those cells in their native state in the lab for a longer period of time to let us study them more effectively, there are techniques that people have done to do that, but the problem with those is that they limit your ability to study the cells. You have to surround them in material, and if you can imagine, if it's surrounded in material, it's harder to see and to look at the very intricate chemical happenings within the cells.
But if this is happening in the lab with these cells, is the same thing happening in our bodies with these cells?
No, because in our body, they are within their normal environment.
Ah,
when we
okay.
put them into a lab, so in the body, in the cartilage, it's a three-dimensional environment that they are within. So, it's a pretty complicated environment at that. There are lots of different components. When we study them in the lab, historically for decades, the way cell culture has been done, you take the cells First, you take the tissue out of the body, then you digest the cells out of the tissue, and then you put them on a piece of plastic. Mm-hmm. And you can imagine that, you know, a piece of plastic is not going to give the cells the same environmental cues as the tissue in your body is. So we're trying to make a device that's kind of a halfway point. It gives them enough cues, or should give them enough cues, to keep them in, you know, feeling like they're at home, and yet still be accessible enough that we can easily study them using traditional techniques.
So you're really using your mechanical engineering skills to help develop new tools to study cells.
Yeah. I'm using my mechanical engineering and my biomaterials education as well.
Okay. And so once you then are able to study these cells for a longer period of time, then what?
Well, for us, you know, being able to study them for a longer period of time will be helpful because it will mean we can do more experiments. You know, because they only last about a week and a half, that means we have to wait for someone to pass away and for their family to donate their tissue to a tissue bank and check the box that, yes, it's okay to use that for research. And then it comes to us, and then we have a week and a half to use it. And we usually get more cells from a single person than we are able to use in that time. So by keeping them in, you know, their proper configuration longer, we will be able to study them more effectively in terms of just efficiency of experimentation. More importantly for what we're doing, we're going to be keeping their internal architecture the same. And what we are, you know, what I'm particularly interested in studying from the cell biology standpoint is how that architecture regulates, you know, the forces that they experience and the conversion of those forces into different chemical cues within the cells. So by keeping that architecture intact, we will get a response from the cells that matches more closely what's happening to the cells in our bodies. You know, we can do these experiments on glass or on plastic, but, you know, how translatable our data is from those experiments is really highly dependent on how closely the cells that we're looking at match the cells in our body.
Hmm. And so how big is your lab, and how much collaboration then do you have with what you're trying to do with these cells?
The lab itself, so I've got a couple different lab spaces. I do a lot of collaboration. Our department is built kind of around a lot of shared resources, which is great for collaboration. So for instance, Dr. Robert Anderson, who mm-hmm. was here the last time I was here as well, you know, we work very closely together, getting my cells on the microscope that he's built here. Mm-hmm. And so we're able to get some really exciting, you know, movies of the cells doing their thing with that. As far as personnel goes, I've got one dedicated graduate student myself, and then I work very closely with two or three others as well, who all kind of are helping me look at different aspects of the things that we're looking at.
Now, this is a process that takes years.
Yes.
Yeah. And you're still relatively in the early stages.
Yes.
Of trying to answer your hypothesis.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
So I'm not that patient. How are you? How are you so patient in doing this? So, I mean, it seems as though you're like, let me stop and ask a question. How long is your wait between having cells to use? I mean, it's not a continuous supply like it would be with HeLa cells.
Right.
Right.
It's variable. You know, there are times when we can get cells from three people in a week, and then the next week we get two more, and then we don't get any for 2 months. Mm-hmm. You know, it really varies. And we've got a couple different sources. We work with the Dakota Lions Eye and Tissue Bank. They're our local source, which we love to get tissue from. And then I also am still collaborating with the lab in North Carolina that I did my postdoc at. They get their tissue from a tissue bank in Chicago, Gift of Hope. And so we actually get a fair number of cells from them as well.
So as you're still, though, in the developing of the process, mm-hmm. right? And not so much in the research on the cells. Is that fair to say?
We kind of got two sides going.
You have two things happening at the same time.
So we're trying to really, get the experiments optimized on the cells on glass, right, on the one mm-hmm. project. And then on the other, we're trying to develop that device. And so my hope is that those will both come together here very soon, and we can start, using the device to get some results that hopefully we'll be able to translate into something clinical before too many years.
Okay, so you are the featured speaker for the STEAM Cafe. Mm-hmm. What is your message to the general audience that shows up to learn about your research? And you only have a minute.
my what I really hope to convey to them is just to give them a picture of, how the cells in our tissue are controlling our health, right? And that it's not just wear and tear. And I want to give people an idea of the things that we're looking at, what internal architecture things are we seeing? What does that look like? What does our device look like, and how exactly will that help us? So those are the things I'm hoping to convey at the STEAM Cafe.
Okay. And we need to understand how things work.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely.
And that's what you're...
You can't fix something if you don't understand it.
Okay. And arthritis is a big problem because it impacts so many people.
Absolutely. I mean, it costs South Dakotans almost $500 million a year in direct medical costs and lost wages. It's a huge problem. It's over $350 billion nationally each year that it costs our population.